if you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks for Closet Christ. The show is the voice of the Axar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with Destiny.
Greetings in the divine love that is, that you are. This is Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Axar Command, Cosmic Pep Talks for Closet Christ. This evening, our seminar topic is the 49 flavors of love and our spiritual affiliations within the inner plane ashrams. So, if you're ready, take a deep breath and allow the love that you are to simply be present. It has never changed. It has never been corrupted. You have never, ever departed from original innocence, perfection, and peace. Allow that to simply sink in and just be present. Love, truth, reality is present and available right now. It's not something that you need to learn or be taught, but perhaps reminded, because we have assumed an identity that in reality does not exist and has never existed. So take another deep breath and breathe in the love of your whole spirit, the wholeness that is forever present. Allow the wholeness and holiness of your own being to dissipate that fog bank of illusion that has projected a world of separation that has never existed, nor has it had any effect on you any more than a shadow. It can be quietly dismissed. So there's a deep sense of loneliness that hovers on the background of people who have forgotten who and what they are forever. It's that background of discontent, that background of depression, that background that we try to escape through distracting into the world. We try in many ways to escape from that dismal feeling of being alone, which is the projection that we can quietly dismiss when we realize that we have never, ever been part of this separative world that the separated part of the mind has projected. It's a mental projection. You could call it actually like a computer program that we have gotten caught up in. That is at this time being interrupted and dissolved. This is something that is being done by that part of us that has corporately agreed to wake up at this time. We have come out of a cycle of 12,000 years of darkness. And we are entering a cycle of 12,000 years of illumination. And it's as if the dimmer switch within the mind is being gradually set higher and higher and higher until the full dawning of reality simply occurs to us. We but imagine a separation and an imperfection that never existed. And so this whole advancement of consciousness into what's been called the Golden Age or the New Era or the Satya Yuga, really, we are simply being reminded of what is true and has always been true and remains true still. That's all. Our thoughts caught up in the illusory program that we've called the ego mind. The ego, meaning that part that edges or tries to edge God out, has projected a world of separation and violence that has never existed. It's like a long nightmare that keeps repeating again and again and again, age after age, and is only exited when we really want, more than anything else, to see. When we really, more than anything else, want to awaken, we will. So the mind returned to wholeness sees only the loving perfection. That's it. All people and things are viewed in divine loving perfection. Does that deny the world? It denies the version of the world that we dream we see. That's all. Right now, we see nothing as it truly is. And when we see through that one mind we share with God, because there's only one mind, we see divine perfection. We see a world filled with beauty and love and peace. Now, all who have awakened beyond body consciousness, bodily identification, and mental confusion live in another reality entirely. They don't see the same world that most people see at all. They only see the good, the holy, the innocence, and the divinity of everyone and everything. I've met many of the great enlightened saints and masters and yogis and yoginis in India. I've been with the great avatar, Satya Sai Baba, for many decades. And I have witnessed people who live in that state all the time. We pay thousands and thousands of dollars to go across the ocean if you live in a distant land far from India, just to sit in the presence of someone who can truly see who you are. Maybe for the first time in your life, you were seen as you truly are, as a divine, perfect incarnation of God. And that's worth everything. And when you're in the presence of a person who can really see you, often all you can do is weep
You can hardly utter a word because you are seen and understood so completely, it leaves no room for words or to ask questions doesn't even arise. You simply weep. Now, we can all do that. We could all do that. Our divine perfection is present right now. It is not something you're becoming. It's something that you could never not be. But everything that we hear, that we're taught, that we're conditioned and indoctrinated in 24/7, is separation, violence, a vengeful world, danger, and the need for defense. All of that is drummed in through every form of media. And we don't have a single person that speaks reality to us or encourages us. In fact, in the psychological journal, seeing visions, seeing beyond the physical world, and having extrasensory perception beyond the physical world is categorically dismissed as mental illness. Very interesting. So the world of the ego is the outer world you see when you turn on the evening news. It's the world that you hear when you sit in the classroom. And some ignoramus is trying to tell you the facts of life when they don't have a clue who they are, where they come from, where they're going, or what anything is about. And so we are being taught inwardly in the night travel 24/7. There's an inner teacher, an inner tutor, an intuition that's taking place, that's reminding us constantly of who we are. And every time we tap into that, we begin to feel happy. We'll have a little whiff of relief, a little whiff of happiness, and then, oh my gosh, it's gone, and we try to reach back for it, and it's not there because it's not in the past. You can't return to the past. That moment is a full present awareness here that allows you to experience that little respite from the restless ego mind. But very seldom are we fully present. We're noisy. We could have quiet in the outer room, but there's this inner noise going on in the background of the mind all the time. And it brings up, finally and eventually, a place where we are so desperate to get beyond our thoughts, to get beyond the daily news, to get beyond everything that the world has to offer and has to say to us. Because if you live long enough, you've probably had every experience you really wanted. And you will. You will have every experience that you want because you will make it so for yourself. But you find that it's left you empty. Nothing lasts. Everything dies or changes or goes away or leaves you. And in a way, that's a good thing because you cannot fulfill what you really want to fulfill in the world that you see out of the confused mind that has divided itself from its wholeness, or at least sees that way. So whenever you are afraid, it's a sure sign that you've allowed your mind to miscreate. We have not allowed the inner knower to guide it. You know, we tolerate all sorts of insane thoughts and think nothing of it. We speak of idle thoughts, and we speak of wool gathering, and we speak of joking, but not really meaning it. But the masters teach us that every single thought is ineradicable and creates a world like itself. So if you knew that, if you knew the power of your words and your thoughts and your beliefs, don't you think you'd use a lot more discrimination? Well, of course, we would, wouldn't we? So we need to equate sanity with joy. Joy has been likened to being a special wisdom. But who is wholly joyous? Gosh, you look at the faces of people that are the talking heads on television, and you see them etched with age and worry and fatigue and unhappiness, the mouth spewing all sorts of nonsense. None of it real. Not a word is real. Not a word comes out of the state of the wholeness that each person truly is if they but remembered. So, you do not need guidance except at the mind level, which needs correction. Because the mind level is the only mischief maker and the only level at which creation and correction is possible. So tonight we are going to speak about the 49 flavors of love and the inner plane affiliations that we all have, which, if we realized it and bore that in mind, we would alleviate the one single thing that causes us the greatest torment, and that is that deep fear of being alone and not loved. So when you realize that you are never alone, that you walk within a divine assembly of kindred souls at all times, you are connected. You are loved. You are seen. You are observed. You are being guided. You are being illumined every moment. When you replace that false thought, being alone, with reminding yourself and replacing that false thought with the true thought that you never walk alone, that you are with the beloved at all times and the beloveds. In fact, I love this statement by Jesus in the Course in Miracles. If you but knew who walks beside you every step of the way you have chosen, fear would be impossible. Fear would be impossible. If you knew who walks beside you every step of the way you have chosen. Now, if you're thinking with the ego mind, you're not going to be aware of that because the ego is completely ignorant of oneness. It can't comprehend that. That's why the mind needs to be retrained to dismiss those thoughts of separation and distance and imperfection. They have to be just dismissed. And when they are dismissed, you'll find that there's no fear. And that you've given room for truth and love, which immediately gives you an upliftment of energy. Immediate. So whenever we're afraid and feel alone, it's when we either don't know or have forgotten that we live and move and have our being in the divine love at all times. When I would put my daughters to bed, I said this prayer every night, and it's a favorite prayer to this day of my daughters. And it's, the light of God surrounds you. The love of God enfolds you. The power of God protects you. The presence of God watches over you. Wherever you are, God is, and all is well. And that's from Unity, by the way. I think it just pretty much sums up the state of awareness that one who is awakened lives in. That's their reality. That's my reality. I don't see a world apart from the divine. Those were the visions and the experiences and the awareness that came to me. Because more than anything else, I wanted to see God. What happened many, many years ago when I was in my teenage years was a friend and I went to apply for a modeling job. And it was at the home of a photographer and his wife. And my friend said, you know, these people are really strange. I said, how so? Well, they sit in the dark a lot and don't say anything, and they just eat vegetables. Well, I had no reference point for that being good, bad, or indifferent, so I just thought that was rather interesting. So we're sitting in their living room waiting for them to come and interview us, and I noticed this book with the most beautiful face I had ever seen in my life. And it was Autobiography of a Yogi. And I turned to my friend and I said, Kim, what's a yogi? And she looked at me with great knowing eyes and she said, oh, a yogi is someone who sees God. And I said, you mean you can see God? I thought God was a spirit. And she said, oh, no, you can see God. Yogis can see God. And I said, Kim, more than anything in the world, I want to see God. And you know what? My life has been about that. I have sat in the presence of God, manifested as the divine full avatar, Satya Sai Baba, manifested as the divine avatar of the divine mother, Sri Ananda Moima, and others, in fact, quite a few God-realized men and women I have through the years been in the presence of. I have been mentored by some of the incarnated ascended masters who actually had been guiding me since I was about 5 years old. And so I've had opportunities in this lifetime again and again and again to be in the presence of those who really know and can only see the holy, the good, and the divine in all people and things and do not see the world that most people assume to be real at all. It doesn't exist. You see, your vibration goes to a level of consciousness which causes you to see an entirely different reality. It all has to do with your altitude. your altitude, the higher your vibration. Well, I've told you my experiences of where my vibration would get so high that the entire room and everybody around me would dissolve in pure white light. There would be absolutely no form, but I was in total divine love. Well, Gary Renard has written a whole book called The Disappearance of the Universe. But I actually experienced the disappearance of the universe in terms of what I used to see when I opened my eyes. But I started having experiences of that chanting the Gayatri Mantra, which is designed, when it's chanted properly, to give you the experience directly of an illumined mind. I was up at a Sai Baba retreat again back many years ago when I had my first experience of that. And we were chanting the Gayatri Mantra 108 times. And I was sitting in front of an easel where Sai Baba's picture was displayed, and I was looking into his eyes. And somewhere in the midst of that chanting, the entire room dissolved into waves of golden light. And the only thing I saw were Sai Baba's two brown eyes floating like two chocolates in the sea of golden light. And I directly experienced the fact that God is light. God is the only reality, and the reality is pure light. The mind is what creates form. When the mind is dissolved in illumination, the outer world dissolves and you're in a state of present being, which in Sanskrit is called Satchitananda, being, awareness, bliss. And so from time to time, I would recall that experience and knew that that was the absolute truth, that nothing is solid matter, nothing. Everything is made of divine light and divine sound, the sound current, the Bhagavad Gita, that is literally the song of God. And so I would suggest to those of you that really want to see that you begin to question your unhappiness, your unhappy thoughts, your unhappy situations that you create for yourself to awaken yourself, and begin to remember some of the things I'm sharing with you, because I speak out of direct experience. And until you have your own, you can take my word for it that these states are available to you now. And if you don't explore them, it's just because you're more interested in the world, and it's not probably of great interest to you to awaken. But when you really want to awaken, you will. In fact, Sai Baba has said that we could attain liberation in 11 minutes if we begin to ask ourselves, what is this body? Where did this idea come from that I think I'm this body? This body that is not the same any 2 seconds. It is changing. How can I be the body when the body was a baby? Where's the baby? And a youth. Where's the youth? Or maybe the body is now old. How can that be me? It's changing every moment, modifying, waxing and waning, and will drop away at some point. How can that be who I am? And then go through your emotional states, which change like a weather vane. How can that be me? It constantly changes. One second I'm happy, one second I'm unhappy, one second I'm depressed, another second I'm elated. But nothing stays. It's always changing. And then the mental state. One day you believe one thing, and then the next day you doubt it, and you go on and you believe something else. Do you know how many times of the day you change your mind? You change your thoughts. We're not consistent. You see, a person who's awakened is consistent. They never move out of that reality of divine love and perfection. They just don't. There's no place to go but present wholeness, present love, present fullness of being. That's there right now for every single person. Every single person has that available to them right now. So, another statement from the Course in Miracles that I think is quite wonderful. What could you not accept if you but knew that everything, past, present, and to come, was lovingly prepared by one whose only purpose is your good? In other words, your happiness and well-being. But you know, if your prayers for things in this world were answered, that would be giving you hell, not happiness. That would be giving you something that's designed to leave, decay, dissolve, die, in some way leave you at some point. If it was just involving your physical body and your physical world. So a real master is not going to give you ego satisfaction and reward. You're going to get the reward when you steadfastly trust the divine guidance from a really illumined person until you have your own experience. Because without experience, you're always going to doubt. If somebody tells you something, you're not going to believe it unless you've actually experienced it. So it's good to have many experiences that break your heart, that make you unhappy, that disenchant and disappoint you. I mean, spiritually speaking, that is a sign of the grace of God, because your fascination with the world is being dismantled. It's being revealed for what it is, an empty promise. And then you're ready when you finally just accept the whole kit and caboodle and you trust, you find that you're carried into a new state of being through grace. And it's, again, like that dimmer switch that keeps getting turned up until you're in full illumination. And you don't even realize it. It just is so natural. But you don't see things as you did before. So I want to look at, with you, the affiliations that we have on the inner plane. And at the end of the show, shortly before the end of our seminar tonight, I'll be setting you up for an experience that you can gain for yourself. And then we'll allow you to stay in that state as we close the show so that you're not interrupted and you can just transcend the physical body and the physical mind and allow yourself to have an inner plane experience, which I can assure you is more real than anything that you'll experience here in this dimension. You see, with every form, going into the Eastern perspective for a moment here, With every appearance in form, you have at the same time the appearance of Mahamaya. Mahamaya is the term given that tempter that comes to try to fool you every time you get attached to a form. Case in point, when those of us who are devotees of Satya Sai Baba are in America or wherever our land, our homeland is, that we think is our homeland, ho ho. But anyway, we would never think of Sai Baba as being apart from us, okay? We feel like Sai Baba lives with us, is with us all the time, is guiding us, is ever-present. Although his form is not present, right? But the minute we get to India and we're in his physical presence, we go crazy to get a letter to him or a note or to ask his permission physically about something we're concerned about. And that's an example of Mahamaya, that deluding principle that is present whenever there's a form. And so be aware that Mahamaya, the deluding factor, is always present where you have attachment to samsara, to the flux, to the ever-changing, to the imperishable, to the impermanent. And allow your mind to become a portal, a dharma door to reality by reminding yourself, all that I see with my outer eyes is unreal. But that which I know in my innermost being, here and now, as love, is real. And even as perfect love casts out fear, your present trust, your present confidence in your master, your teacher, your guru, your guide, the Holy Spirit within you, your own divine self, that trust that you have, that confidence you have in the self with a capital S, is all the protection you need. When you are 100% in trust of the divine within you, you are invulnerable. Nothing can affect you. And the Course in Miracles is very clear to tell us that we are affected only by our thoughts. Nothing without has the power to make you happy or sad or depressed or sick or endangered in any way. Again, these are thought systems that we bought into that are simply not true. And we keep trying to work them and make them work and fix ourselves and improve ourselves and better ourselves and arrange the furniture of our life. And you know what? It never works. It can't work. And that's what some of us are awakening to. It's like, well, it can't be fixed because then it's an illusion. It's unreal. How can you fix something that's not there? In fact, half of the questions, maybe all of the questions we ask when we go to an illumined person, they look at you and don't know what to say because you're looking at something that's not there. And they're asking that person fix a fiction. Something they've imagined is wrong with themselves or their lives. And so that's why these great ones are very often silent when you come, caterwauling with your karma drama, or whatever it is that's distracted you from present wholeness and peace. They don't know how to answer because there's nothing wrong with you. Nothing needs fixing. You're not broken. Nothing needs to be healed. You just need your misperceptions corrected, because you're not seeing anyone or anything, much less yourself, in reality. You've allowed your mind to miscreate. That's all. But you can allow your mind to miscreate, or you can turn to the one who knows and allow your misthoughts to be created. Excuse me. Your mistaken thoughts to be corrected. And if you're smart, you'll learn to do that real fast, and you'll keep reminding yourself to do it, whether you use the Course in Miracles or whatever it is you use. So each one of us is surrounded with many, 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 many souls that we have passed through this life wave of education in myriads of forms and lifetimes and associations. Are they real? Yes, if you realize that all the people that you see without are also incarnations of your own self. That's the ultimate truth. But most of us are not quite there yet. We still see other people as separate and different. So we can dance around with this idea of the 49 flavors of love and the interplane affiliations and associations we have. And that would be part of what we would call a happy dream of awakening and returning and the joy we have as we walk the path more consciously. That's a happy dream. That's going to dissolve too as you become awake to your godhood. But in the meantime, you can enjoy the awakening process by remembering that you walk with people who love you, and they're on all dimensions and planes. So there are seven major ray ashrams that are presided over by one of seven great rishis. In other words, each ray or quality of energy has a great lord that supervises it, and that great lord is called a chohan in Sanskrit. The seven rays are Ray 1, Will. Ray 2, Love, Wisdom. Ray 3, Active Intelligence. Ray 4, Harmony through Conflict. Ray 5, Concrete Science. Ray 6, Devotion. Ray 7, Ceremonial Magic. And we all pass through these different rays in each lifetime, because we have a soul ray, which is more or less constant, but that ray dissolves into the ray that governs your spirit ultimately, which will be on one of the first three rays, will, love, wisdom, or active intelligence. And so each ray has seven subdivisions. The total of all combined makes 49. And that makes up the 49 interplane schools or ashrams of divine consciousness to which we have affiliation. We have a overall major homeroom, let's call it, in the school of divine consciousness that would be more or less constant for a long, long period of time. And each ray embodies a quality of divinity. So that the sum total for this solar system, we could call metaphorically the 49 flavors of divine love. And as we pass through these different aspects, these different flavors and colorations of the divine consciousness, we began to experience ourselves in these different overlays, and we become thus, let's say, experienced in our self-mastery and our own godhood. We gain the experience of our godhood as we pass through these schools of consciousness. So you could regard our entire solar system like a vast university. each planet a college wherein a specific topic is taught, experienced, and thus learned. Again, you have to experience it to actually know it and to learn whatever the course is that's being taught. So each soul passes through every planetary school and developing the full spectrum of experience required to exemplify self-mastery and conscious godhood. So that's what we're doing here. We're in training to be divine co-creative spirits that go forth to create another, to create other universes and other things in different dimensional realms. So each planet radiates a specific divine cord and color. Earth radiates the color green, and if I remember correctly, it resonates F major in terms of its tone. Our second ray, solar system, which is designed for us to experience and learn love, wisdom, is overall designed to radiate love, wisdom. And thus a large percentage of the souls that are right now enrolled in this particular Earth school or systemic curriculum are second-ray souls. So our Earth school is on the third ray of active intelligence. And herein we are learning to think and act divinely, which is both intelligently and lovingly. So Earth is the only planet in our solar system wherein we can fully embody and express every single level of consciousness. So the human body is very unique because it's the only time when we can be fully present in the full spectrum of multi-dimensional manifestation. In other words, in the physical body, we're physical. We're present physically on the astral level, the causal level, the mental level, the etheric level, the soul level, and the spirit or monadic level. And only here in the human body can we do that. So we can experience and express the full spectrum of consciousness only upon Earth and within the human vehicle. And that's why this incarnation is very, very important and absolutely mandatory in terms of our graduation beyond the Earth. So we can express the very highest divine states of awareness here or the very lowest states of consciousness and every state in between, which is the good thing when you think about the range of moods that we can pass through, the range of thoughts and beliefs we can pass through, and the fact that the body is constantly changing from moment to moment. So when we use these things as, let's say, a point to meditate upon, for example, in India, many of the worshippers of Shiva, the Shaivites, will actually sit in a graveyard and contemplate, or a cremation ghat, and contemplate the dissolution of the physical body. That may sound morbid to the average Westerner, but it's actually a very good process to meditate upon the impermanence of all form and to realize that we are actually spirit. We are beings that will individuate into divine individualities that can step in and out of form at will. But we're not locked into any one form or any one planet or any one place or dimension. We are free. And where we go, we manifest according to how we can be of service to that world, to that dimension, to those particular beings that we're working with. And that's the purpose of all this. So that you're not bound, you're not earthbound, you're not planetarily bound. But you live in the vastness of an ever-expanding field of loving divinity and awareness. So on Earth, we're all pupils of the ones who have already perfected divine love and wisdom. And we usually think of divine love as embodied by the Christ and divine wisdom by the Buddha. But truly, both embody love wisdom. And both are our teachers, as well as teachers of everyone, everywhere, regardless of their creed or culture. So these are great beings who have attained to what we would call Christ consciousness and nirvana, the illumined ones, which are the teachers of all evolving souls. So when one is coming to the end of their earthly studies and is ready to graduate soon, they will at that time meet a spiritual traveler who is able to consciously show them the keys to moving through those higher dimensions without getting caught in the many illusions that are prevalent within all of the lower worlds. The Mahamaya is present in all of the lower worlds beneath the soul realm. And so you need a spiritual traveler who can guide you through those realms, has the keys and the authority and the ability to take the consciousness and deliver it into the divine realms beyond Mahamaya, beyond the entrapment, beyond basically time, space, and becoming. So one is then taken in tow by the spiritual traveler and has the opportunity to complete and graduate in this very life. But if not in this life, if you have too many material desires that have to be worked out in the physical plane, then at least within the next four lifetimes is usually what is taught by the masters. It's interesting that Satya Sai Baba said, who is the manifestation of the cosmic Christ avatar, on a cosmic Christ at the cosmic level, Satya Sai Baba has stated that everyone on earth will come to him, meeting God, within the next 10 lifetimes. And that's a breathtaking declaration for sure, and one we can hardly fathom, truly speaking. So bottom line, we are exiting the matrix. The computer program is ending. The ego mind's false simulation is being dissolved into divine reality and in love and joy beyond our imagining. So the mind is being delivered and carried beyond the illusions that it has projected, and our right-mindedness is being restored. So now let's take a little journey. Let's see what we can experience of our inner plane associations. Take a deep breath. And come present. And quietly gaze out of your third eye, the 10th door. And allow the spiritual traveler to appear. Whether it's a purple or a blue light or star, or perhaps the radiant form, whatever appears or doesn't appear, imagine the traveler reaching and taking your hand, the traveler in your mind. In your mind's eye, we're taking an inner journey. Allow your consciousness to go with the traveler. As you walk down a starry corridor, it's like you're walking in the galaxies of brilliant light. Stars above and below and on either side. And suddenly you find that you're walking. It's like you're walking on a path of crystal light. It glows all up through your body, up through your all of your cells. It's like the path upon which you're walking is living light. And you seem to be ascending a staircase, but your feet are not on the stairs. They're floating. And the traveler is walking, holding your hand by your side. And you see before you an absolutely breathtaking, oh, there's no way to describe it. Could we call it a crystal city? What could we call it? It is the ashram of the purple rose. The spiritual university of the beloved. And as you enter this breathtakingly beautiful city, you are told that this is the city of the Siddhas. A Siddha is one who has exemplified and manifests divine perfection. So the holy ones find their abode in this realm, which is beyond time and space, and causality and becoming. It's called the land of truth, Satchkhand, Satyadesh, Devakhand, Siddhaloka. So many names for the place. Where the Nirvanis, the enlightened, immortalized ones, dwell. And there's all these different schools, classrooms, ashrams, what could we call them? Places where we are trained to live as God realized creators. Creative spirits. Some of us are in training to be mystical travelers. Some of us are in training to create universes. Some are being trained to create races of beings. Some are being trained to ensoul planetary worlds and sun worlds. Some are designing plants and animals and minerals and various beautiful forms to adorn new creations. The traveler is taking you to your classroom, to your school of consciousness. You will be shown what you need to be shown. You will remember and bring back what you need to remember and bring back into your conscious mind. You will always remember what you were shown. There is so much to see. You will probably like to to continue your journey again and again. For in spirit, there is always more. There is always revelation of greater and greater beauty and wisdom and ever-expanding love. We have been visiting this beautiful ashram of the Purple Rose many, many times in soul travel, when we sleep, dream, sometimes during our spiritual exercises. But perhaps it hasn't really anchored in our awareness that this is our home in the soul realm. This is where we go at night when we leave our body. This is where we go when the body falls away in that illusion that we call death. Look around and see who's there with you. Your classmates, your loved ones, people that have passed away that you loved. They're all there. Those of you that are exploring these wonderful interplane realms and ashrams, you will find yourself drawn to the one that you are closely affiliated with. For many of you listening, it will be the Purple Rose Ashram of the Mystical Traveler. Or it might be the Vaikuntha, Goloka, Vrindavana, realms of Sri Krishna, the spiritual planets that comprise the realms of Lord Vishnu. It's where you feel like you came from originally. And it's the place you've always longed to return to. Expand your senses to see, to listen, to taste. Smell, to feel everything you possibly can. Let your consciousness expand so that you have the sensation of every cell in your body being alive and receptive and sentient. So that every cell experiences this divine realm. And know that even when you're in your waking state, you're still home. You've never left home. It's here right now. You can remember it. And feel comforted every time you do. You can't lose it. You can't not be there. Only the mind flits away. But now you know you can return it. It is a choice you can always make to return your mind. Your true home. From here, you extended your love to dance a while in the dream time of time, space, and becoming. But at any moment, you can be still an instant and return home. It's just as simple as taking a deep breath and quieting your mind and being present. Now, you will stay there and not return to the dream time of Earth when you've had enough of the rides in this 3-day fair that we call Earth life. When you've had enough and are really cranky and weary, and you don't want to do anything more that unites you to the earth element, you will stay in the soul realm. And you'll keep expanding in the love and the bliss and the creativity of your immortal being. And of your joy and your love, there will be no end. It defies all description. We can but take it on trust from those who have been there consciously and return to share. And they would be the ones we call the spiritual travelers. So as we complete this evening, we will go out chanting softly on IU, and you just continue with your journey. Deep breath. Namaste.